This is the Data Privacy Detective, and today we're going to look at Japan and what Japan thinks about data privacy and how it handles it. And we have a great host for us, a guest. I'm the host, but a host for Japan in Eric Jacobs. Eric, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Joe. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Now, you are the policy manager for the United States and Asia at Access Partnership. And I know Access Partnership is really the world's leading public policy firm for technology, but certainly data privacy is part of that. And that has offices in London and DC and Singapore. And it works with senior advisors around the world on what data privacy and other technology policies ought to be. How do you work with senior advisors?
You know, we have our global footprint and we work on, as you mentioned, privacy and many other issues. But in certain cases, when we need to really dive in with country expertise on specific issues, kind of leverage long-term relationships to develop and deliver results for our clients, we tap into our senior advisors. Many of them have incredible experience working on these issues in their countries. And for example, we work with the former MIC minister, Heizo Takenaka, in Japan. And he's an example of the type of advisor that Access Partnership has all around the world.
Very good. And you have lived in Japan. You lived through one of the major earthquakes there and helped teach English there. And But you got very involved in technology as well. And in the Trump administration, you were part of the White House Office of Science and Technology. And after that, worked with the Department of Energy. So you were really in the middle. You hosted or helped to be really advanced staff for two of Vice President Pence's visits to Tokyo in 2018. So you were right in the middle of how Japan was approaching what led to a comprehensive data privacy policy. That must have been a great experience.
It was an incredible experience, as you mentioned, to kind of take my unique life path in living and working in Japan and my passion for kind of U.S. policy, U.S.-Japan policy, and be able to work in the Office of Science and Tech Policy with the Trump administration to work with Japan on key issues like this. I also was one of the lead organizers for the ministerial level joint high-level committee meeting on science and tech policy, where key issues, including artificial intelligence, joint research cooperation, these were all issues. These were all discussed, at the highest level. And it was an honor just to be a part of all of those discussions in the last administration. And I continue to follow what's going on with the current administration now.
And it was a fascinating time to be there. All the issues with China and the emerging China, more than emerging. China's not emerging. It's emerged. And how Japan balances itself, how it deals. One of our great allies in Asia. So let's just jump right into it, Eric. How is privacy understood in Japan?
I would say that much like here in the U.S., it's considered a very important right for the individual. And I think kind of it's one of the undergirding principles of Japan's data protection laws as the individual right to privacy, similar to here in the U.S. But based on my experience and my personal experience in Japan, I think that Japanese people may emphasize privacy in their daily lives, at least the principle of privacy, in different ways than we do here in the U.S. So
wouldn't you say even more so than most Americans? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so in some specific ways. I'd give a quick example. Working at an elementary school, anytime there would be photos taken at the school, if they wanted to post on their website, they would need approval from all the parents of whose students before they would get posted, or the photos would be blurred. A lot of people will blur their friends out on social media, or they'll, restaurants and cafes will have strict no photography policies that a lot of people follow. So at least in terms of kind of the online footprint, I think individuals take the concept of privacy pretty seriously at an individual level, I'd say.
Now, U.S., different people think differently, but in general, I would say the U.S. approach is a little more of privacy vis-a-vis the government. And I would say broad consensus that it's our Fourth Amendment, many parts of our amendment, free speech and so on, but less so about privacy from companies, if you know what I mean. How about Japan?
I think more so in Japan, a lot of the discussion is about, you know, how do individuals protect their data from companies? And you see a lot of that kind of emerging in these new data regimes, the new data law that is now in place and in effect as of earlier this year. And I would broadly agree with you on the part with the individual's perception here in the U.S. as well. However, I think recent discussions regarding the role of big tech and things regarding the Fourth Amendment, Patriot Act, further revisions to that have maybe raised the consciousness of some Americans to private entities as well regarding their data.
Right. I mean, in the Trump administration, there was an executive order about TikTok, and there was going to be a forced sale, and the court intervened. And the Biden administration hasn't really totally reversed that. Now, it recently rewrote that, but there's a concern anytime you're dealing with a company, what the company is going to do with that data. Is it related to a foreign government? That was the problem with TikTok. It's owned by a Chinese company. It's owned by has Chinese owners. But let's talk about the difference between privacy as something you worry about as to government versus more broadly, privacy when it's shared among companies, when it's bought and sold on the internet, all aspects of the internet, including the dark web. We know this happens. So Japan, as you mentioned, just in 2022, adopted an act on the protection of personal information, APPI. And that's the first comprehensive code in Japan. And let's face it, U.S. does not have a comprehensive data privacy law. Why do you think Japan chose that route, a little more like what we see in Europe?
Well, I think they wanted to follow good business practices to emphasize consumer privacy along the way. And I know that former Prime Minister Abe was really big about free flows with trust and kind of building Japan's role as a perceived leader on data policy. So kind of, being able to be GDPR compliant and then also having the ability to protect Japanese citizens' data, both in Japan and abroad, I think played a big role in that from the Japanese perspective.
Well, in Japan has a lot of trade and commerce, of course, with Europe, as it does with the United States. That was there. Let me ask you a question. I wouldn't ask it to the Prime Minister of Japan, but I'll ask it of you. Do you think that was Japan just checking a box, or because it really governmentally and culturally believes that data privacy is a good business practice that must be followed by business?
I think Japan wants to see that as a good business practice, so individuals can trust the folks with whom they're dealing online. That's kind of how I see it. But you can see this continuing with other agreements that the Japanese have made. As you know, the U.S.-Japan digital trade agreement also emphasized important components of privacy. So you can see gradually, since Japan enacted its law, moving forward with kind of focusing on the commercial side of things as well.
And this may tie in, tell me if you think it's so, between Japan and the U.S. having a similar concern about a country like China, which has a much more government-centric approach to data privacy. Do you think I'm right about that?
I think it would be fair to say that China has a very government-centric approach to data privacy.
And Japan not signing up for the Chinese system, but forging its own path here, but more along the lines of the European Union. And you approach that part of good business is to protect the personal data of individuals, of course, subject to all sorts of details. Well, Eric, let's just compare at a high level the U.S. privacy policy that exists to Japan's privacy policy. What would you say about that?
Well, I think the biggest difference between the two would certainly be that Japan has a national privacy law, and the U.S. does not. Even have any sort of kind of guidelines set forth from the federal government. As you know, the new Japanese law has, you know, certain types of enforcement mechanisms. The U.S. deals with that somewhat through the Federal Trade Commission, but kind of in the lack of the federal guidelines here in the U.S., various states have been taking different actions to address what they view as important for data protection: California, Colorado, Utah, Virginia, et cetera. And companies are going to have to kind of take into consideration what these different state laws, these different state regulations and guidelines, and how they may impact their dealings here in the U.S. as well.
And you're certainly beginning to see in Congress, and I know you follow this, efforts, I'll just say, by business, some business sectors to encourage a national, a U.S. Data policy law, but in part because some of the state laws, which differ, have gone further than those businesses wanted. So you're beginning, you're seeing, I would think, lobbyists really pushing for preemption of state laws that they don't like so much. Is that generally what's going on right now?
I think there are a lot of things going on in Washington right now. Certainly, the business side would see the need or their desire for a national type of legislation or guideline to kind of shape those policies. Just for stability. And you've seen at the IAPP conference several weeks ago, leaders from big tech talked about, you know, how the importance of having some sort of legislation. But I don't know in the current policy environment if something like that is going to happen here in the U.S. or if it will continue to be, different states taking different actions. Maybe there will be something in the future, but I think that remains to be seen, even though there are strong interests pushing for that.
Right. Well, of course, like any country, Japan had a good bit of input from business and public policy advocates about data privacy before it adopted its law. But let's just perhaps conclude our discussion by seeing what we can learn from what Japan has gone through to the point where it developed a national law. First, how did Japan, and what does it have to teach us, Eric, about defining privacy as protection both from the government, in some cases, and from the private sector?
I think if you look at the way Japan approached things, they've definitely moved in an incremental way. And, they adopted different perceptions both to the private sector and to the public sector. The creation of the new digital agency last year as well, I think, has helped shape some perceptions when it comes to the public's interaction with data, at least kind of more at the prefectural level for government. But the topic, just having the law since the 2000s has really changed the way that Japan has addressed this issue. But because of Japan's current political environment and essentially the LDP having strong control over the legislative process, I think that the two circumstances are a bit different. And if something were to develop here in the U.S., there would probably need to be strong bipartisan consensus on how to move forward on those issues.
At least 60 votes in the Senate, that's for sure.
Yes.
How about the individual ability to sue, to file a lawsuit, to get information for cases under the new Japanese law, the APPI?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting element to this law that, previously, if an individual was potentially defamed or attacked, they would sue to try to get the information of the individual who was doing that. Now, obviously, here in the U.S., we have the First Amendment protection of freedom of speech. But in Japan, a lot of times the individual would challenge that in court, obviously, and then it would lead to a long adjudication process where companies would often get rid of data after a certain period of time, and that would not be able to carry forward. The new law has some interesting components to it, whereby there's a quick relatively quick process through which those cases are adjudicated, and then the relative information may be released depending on what the court says.
And let me ask you one last question. Where would you rate Japan on a spectrum ranging from strict control of personal data transfers and collection and sale and so on to free flow of data?
I think definitely more so on the free flow side. I know it's been kind of one of the pillars of the Japanese government over the last few years, from Abe up until now, the Kishida administration, to continue to move in that general direction. We've got the U.S. And Japan, Biden and Kishida here meeting for the end of the week. I'm sure that that's going to be a discussion. Maybe something will come out of that meeting. And then the Quad leaders meeting as well. I'm sure that as Japan looks to take a foot forward and kind of lead some of these international discussions, that data, privacy, other concerns on emerging technology will continue to dominate those discussions.
So perhaps we'll see the U.S., re-engaging in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That doesn't seem it's going to happen, at least on data privacy, is working closely with Japan to have a very different model from, let's just say, the People's Republic of China's approach about data privacy and the flow of information. Well, Eric, thank you for this tour today. I appreciate it. And let's do it again a year or two from now. We'll see if there's any progress that's been made on perhaps someday a national data privacy law for the United States. Any concluding remarks, Eric?
I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and to talk a little bit about Access Partnership as well. It's been great, and look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. And as always, I'll conclude by reminding us all, protecting your personal data begins with you.